Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the
radio. 30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
So, you know something I was thinking about? I have a player debate I'm tempted to put out on the interwebs. The question is, would you rather have rest of season, Taj Bradley or Grayson Rodriguez? And if you want to talk about top prospects, Grayson has looked pretty damn good, had the weirdness at the beginning, but it would be safe to say that both are probably about the same capped innings. One is on a better team with the Rays. Pedigree a little bit more in favor of Grayson Rodriguez, but stuff looks pretty identical. Is there a case for Taj Bradley over Grayson Rodriguez?
I think there absolutely is. Yeah. I mean, there has to be, right? Because he's on a much better team. And look, the Orioles were solid last year, and they're definitely an improving team. But if we're splitting hairs, give me this team that has been unstoppable so far. And the guy that looks better between the two, give me Taj for sure.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Like, I look at Taj and I think this is a guy right now that can be, it may be a top 40 SP. And I know it might be dramatic, but if you really have watched his starts, the way he's pumped the zone, the way he's used that curveball, also the kind of jitters that are probably in there early on and how he's kind of come back from it. And it's pretty impressive stuff. And I think it can be argued that he could be as valuable as Grayson Rodriguez and more valuable than a Chris Sale at this point, which I think is wild. Now, we're picking Taj Bradley and he kind of tore apart. Is there any part of you that there's a belief still in what Chris Sale can be the rest of the year? Or do you think there's going to be too much inconsistency?
I just think the inconsistencies are still going to be there. I mean, again, the velocity was up, but he's had trouble locating his fastball. I think he said he had eight straight balls in the start before that. And he said he's never even done that, even in like back in high school. If the Red Sox were better, if like they had just kind of a better team around him where I feel like, okay, like he's going to get back on track. But the Red Sox just kind of feel like a meh team to me. And so I just feel like he's going to have very up and down performances, no consistency. You could see this and then you could see what he's done in previous starts. I might be wrong, but I don't think Chris Sale is going to be the type of guy you can throw out there and he'll give you two or three straight starts of looking dominant. I think he'll look like this. And then his next start, he could go four innings, give up four earned runs with seven strikeouts. And then it's kind of what I've expected to see from him recently.
I feel like lumping Chris Sale into this group with Bradley and Grayson Rodriguez for what he is now in his career, it kind of makes sense because he is going to be inconsistent. We know rookies are going to have ups and downs and potential innings limits. Chris Sale is because of just his extensive injury history at this point, which, you know, no injury until he did get hurt and then it's been downhill. So I think these guys are all probably about the same at the end of the year. I think I would lean towards Chris Sale over both just because We've seen him do it before. And even before this start, Sierra, XFIP were both in the mid threes. It wasn't like, you know, he was getting shelled, but it wasn't like his expected numbers were that bad either. So I'm still in on Chris Sale. I think I might take him slightly over both those guys just because, you know, a bad stretch for those guys, they get sent back down. A bad stretch for Chris Sale, he takes a couple starts off, then comes back because he's getting paid too much. So I think I'll stick with Chris Sale, but it's obviously very close. And I think because of, you know, what we've seen from him the last couple of years, he definitely belongs in a group with these young guys because he's kind of going to have the same type of season, ups and downs, frustration, you know, sometimes looking good, sometimes looking bad. I think we're going to see that from him too. Obviously, long term, I want both those other guys. And if I had to pick one you know, to be the best, it would probably be Taj at the end of the year. But in terms of consistency and stuff, I think I'm still sticking Chris Sale.
I think like there's an argument to be said that the bridge, the ladder, would be like of who could stay the longest. It's Chris Sale, Grayson, and then Taj at the bottom. You know, Taj probably has the least leash. The one thing I will say it's a plus about Chris Sale, if you're paying attention, he's super inconsistent right now. His walks are higher than they've ever been. And he's never had an over 6.6 walk percentage, and it's over 10 right now. So the consistency isn't there, but the pitches are there. The fastball and slider, 39.5 and 41.9 whiff percentage on both of those. And those equate to almost 65% of his pitch count. So I would say like the stuff is still there with Sale. He's just inconsistent. And maybe that's just part of the early season. I would take Taj over Sale as well, but I think Sale can sit in this same area. And by the way, I think Corbin Carroll is up right now.
Yeah, you know what?
It's a home run.
On Bally's, the whole game just went down. So yeah, they're showing like an interview of Mark Grace with Alex Thomas.
If Corbin Carroll hits a homer here and Bally's went out, we can never watch Bally's again. I think.
All right.
That sounds about right.
I got Gamecast on right now. So Corbin Carroll has a walk in this game. We're just live looking at this. He has a walk. He has two hits, two doubles, by the way.
I'm getting like the flagpole view of this game on the St. Louis broadcast. I don't know what is happening here.
Oh, yeah, I see that. He's going up against Jordan Hicks, and Jordan Hicks is throwing 100, and Carroll hasn't been catching up.
Look at this.
Yeah, but if he makes a
little league World Series angle that I'm getting at this game.
What? This looks like a minor league game. Yeah, what?
I swear to God, that's exactly what it looks like.
That's awful. And the flag
is blocking
it. The flag is in the way.
That is hilarious.
I cannot see Corbin Carroll because of the flag.
Take a picture of that. That's the most hilarious thing on MLB.tv. There's literally a flag that was covering up the entire thing. That is the dumbest thing. It looks like every MLB.tv game you've ever watched ever. And Carroll's got it up to a 3-1 count. Jordan Hicks can't throw a strike. So
3-1 means fastball in the middle, right? Come on,
Corey. It does mean fast, but Carroll hasn't been catching up to big velocity. So, I mean, you throw it 100, you probably can get a 110 EV out of this. But, you know, Carroll's got to make some contact. He's been a little bit, there's one right down.
Well, I have his game day up. I have the game day.
I do too. It's bad luck, though. All right, then we're going to get back to the questions. Hold on. 3-2 count. Game day's up. 3-2 count.
I saw what happened.
The fifth. Oh, so it's not.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league...
It's more rare than a homer for Corbin Carroll.
Oh, there's a walk. Wow. 102 walks. That means stolen base number two coming up here. That would have been the live bet. All right. So Chris Sale, Taj Bradley. That's where it's at. Bogman, I'll let you take the next one.
Sorry. I'm completely distracted over here by this game. The next one is, how worried are you about Alek Manoah? I mean, he has looked terrible so far, Mendy. Not great. And he even got bailed out by Kevin Kiermaier, I think, in his second start. His ERA right now is just a tick below 7. And by the way, Sierra not doing him any favors. He's the opposite of Chris Sale, where his Sierra xFIP were still low. Sierra for Alek Manoah right now is 6.08.
Dude, check this out, too. Expected ERA is higher than his current ERA at 7.43. And maybe the most disgusting stat,
awful.
7.45 K per 9, 6.98 walk per 9. Is there any redemption for Manoah for you? Or are you out?
I mean, his value is so low right now that, like, I know it's kind of like a buy low and or, you know, sell high stuff later, but like 7.45 K per 9, maybe that doesn't get much better. I mean, walking nearly 7 batters per 9, that is not sustainable. So you got to think that's going to regress some. He's given up nearly 2 home runs per 9. And at any level, minor leagues included, he's never even given up 1 home run per 9. So the fact that it's almost 2 is also crazy. His BABIP's at 317. There's just so many stats right now. And even the home run to fly ball rate being nearly 15%. Highest it had ever been was 10.7%. Like, there is regression coming. But the question is, how much regression? I do think he's not what he was last year. And I think there were a lot of people, not just me, and I know there are plenty of others that talked about that he was a big regression candidate. He was not as good as he was last year, but he's not this bad. Maybe he settles in as like a mid fours ERA pitcher with like a, you know, an 8K per nine, which for like a number three or four starter isn't horrible. So I think there is better days ahead in terms of if you expect to see the old Alek Manoah. I don't think you're going to see anything close to that, at least this season.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it too. Like, there's no way it can be this bad. He has a 15% walk rate. Like, it's going to improve. But for the people that live in a world of buying low on Alek Manoah, you can do that. Mm-hmm. I just don't think you're going to get the Manoah you think that's going to be coming back. One of the more alarming than all the, like, it's so early, like ERA stuff can get inflated and walks and stuff. Okay, we can excuse that. But also, like, velo is down. That's not good. I mean, velo, fastball is down close to a mile per hour. Slider is down one full mile per hour. And I mean, the changeup doesn't matter. That's going down a little bit. But the effectiveness overall of all of this is just down. So how are you going to get away with stuff? What are you going to do? You have to pitch to more contact. And I don't know if that's going to work out too well for him. And he's also a low strikeout pitcher, so he can't get away. Nick Lodolo got his ass lit up the other day, and that stinks. And he stunk. But the one redeeming factor he has is any given night, the guy can strike out nine. I'm not making it that Nick Lodolo has to be above Manoah, but like Manoah doesn't have that other redeeming factor until he gets those things right. So I just don't think you're going to get the same piece, but I'm not the best person on this, Boggs, because like he was one of my bold predictions that he was going to he is living up to my bold prediction of him absolutely imploding.
This is my hypocritical thing where I call a major league baseball player fat, and he's just been completely out of shape for his entire career. And you know, look, guys have had success out of shape. Bartolo Colon was great for a while. Lance Lynn has been pretty good as a fatty. Josh Naylor, pretty decent as a fatty, right? But it seems like, you know, it just seems like he's not taking it seriously when he's that sloppy looking. You know what I mean? And I'm not taking it seriously, but I'm not getting paid millions of dollars to pitch every day. He's also switched his pitch mix completely.
Yep, I was going to say that too.
Yeah, I mean, he's leading with the slider now. The slider's 29.4%. Last year, it was 27. But last year, his four-seam was 35.9. It has moved down to the third most used pitch in his repertoire. It's slider, sinker, fastball now. So he's mixing differently as well, trying to make it less predictive, but everything is hittable. So it doesn't really matter what he's throwing out there. His batting average on his slider and his sinker are over 300 for both of them, over 350 on a slider, which he is throwing more than he ever has. So it doesn't make any sense the way this mix is. I think Mendy is right where you are going to see a better version of Alek Manoah pretty soon, because people still aren't hitting his fastball. He's still getting under 200 on that. I think it's It's 150 even. Yeah. So they're not hitting the fastball, which means he should throw it more, which means we will see it more in his next start, but he's not the same guy he was last year or the year before that. So I just think Manoah is a tough buy right now.
You know, the only thing I wanted to add to this real quick and then get what you say, Mindy, but I don't know where I saw it, and I apologize to whoever did it, and I'm not attributing, but it might have been on a broadcast. There was a conversation actually about his physique, and that Alek Manoah was already one of the slowest paced players between pitches in the game last year, and is even slower this year. So that like quick turnaround and him going, there might be something to that. And imagine what's going to happen. Imagine what's going to happen in the summer. You know, when you start playing outside in those summer games outside, I would be more worried about outside
between innings,
outside games with Manoah in the summer. I know it seems so ridiculous and there's people out there, oh, give me a break. But listen, he's already slow paced guy. The movement is a whole bunch more. There's not a lot of recovery time that even some hitters have had some effects with that. It might be something. There might be something to that a little bit with Manoah and all these changes. He might be one of the most effective.
I mean, people
might
can look roll their eyes, but something's wrong. I mean, something's wrong. And we don't know exactly what it is because the velocity isn't down an insane amount. There's plenty of guys that are down more in velocity than he is. It's 0.9 miles per hour on his fastball. That's the tick. 93.9 average last year, 93 this year. That's it. And that might just be early season stuff where your arm hasn't loosened up enough. Mm-hmm. So he may be throwing faster than that by the midway point through the season. So it's got to be something.
I would be very interested to see, and I didn't look this up ahead of time, his slider has a batting average against of 353 right now, but the expected batting average is 230. Last year, the expected batting average on his slider was 218. So very similar. But instead this year, instead of having a 190 batting average against, it's 353. But the expected being the same.
317, Mendy, in his career. For this year, BAPIP is 317. His career is 250 with 244 last year.
That's why I'm curious. Like, I wonder if his slider between the batting average and the expected batting average is the biggest difference in one pitch of any of the pitchers right now. Cause I wish I had looked that up ahead of time. It's, I mean, it's overall, it's like 120 batting point difference.
That's big part of it, man.
Like, that
could just be the defense, the shift, all that stuff, not playing well behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very interesting. It's very interesting overall, this entire thing about Alek Manoah and buy or sell. I am indifferent. I'm like, ouch. So that would be my official wording on it. Like, I know he will get better because it's so bad, but at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to look like the Manoah we knew. And it sounds like everybody is in agreement on that. So people can kind of take that to the bank. How about a little Mary F. Kill? Mary F. Kill, these three hot waiver wire prospect pickups. Brett Beatty, Anthony Volpe, and Ezekiel Tovar. I feel like I've talked a lot about them in different places. Mary F. Kill, Mendy. You got to marry one. You get to, you know, take one home for a nice night, and one got to go. Not IKF, MKF. What do you got?
So I think I'm going to marry Brett Beatty, and there's a couple factors why. Because the New York Mets situation at his positions are just awful. Like, Eduardo Escobar was hitting under 200. No, I think he had his first home run just like a day or two ago. He's no power. Wasn't basically, I think, on the team just for his veteran presence. The rest is the reason they stuck with him so long. Brett Beatty, I think, is a breath of fresh air for them. He's obviously one of their best top prospects. And he brings in what he was dominating at AAA. I felt like every single dad would look, I would see like you or Clegg or somebody, you know, like another great day, game for Brett Beatty. And putting up like 4 for 5 with a home run and 4 RBIs or whatever. I think he's the safest in terms of, I think the Mets have the longest leash with him because they don't have very many great options at the major league level for him. Anthony Volpe is definitely the F because, I mean, all the stolen bases, the way he plays, he's just top like an Yankees exciting
lineup. Yeah.
Yeah. And being a top of the Yankees lineup, like, he's exciting. But then you look and it's like a 200 batting average. So it's like the girl you take home when you're drunk that night that looks good. And then you wake up, you're like, oh, maybe it's not as good when you look at his actual numbers.
But, he's very attractive.
And he's attractive. Yeah. Like, so there, like, there's that too. I do think like the Yankees are giving him a little bit more leash. Obviously, if he keeps hitting under 200 for another few weeks, maybe they send him down. But he's exciting. He's going to steal a lot of bases. I think he's actually, like, a couple models had him projected to be the best chance for stolen base today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
Yeah, he's definitely the F. And then I like Ezekiel Tovar, but not as much as the other two. The Rockies obviously don't, they're young players. You know, they usually always have veterans blocking them. This year they're giving him a chance, but his Statcast page, I mean, it may be warm outside, but it's cold in here. Look at how much blue is in his Statcast page. It's just ugly. No home runs so far this season, hitting 200. I know speed's a big asset for him. He has zero stolen bases so far this season. Even though he's still in the 82nd percentile in sprint speed, I just, like, at this point right now in, like, redraft leagues, you know, he's hitting exit velocities under major league average. His max EV is under major league average. His expected batting average is 170. Expected slug is 227. There's, like, nothing endearing about him right now. And he's in an organization that isn't going to win a lot of games. So I think that's how I would probably rank him.
Yeah, I think I'm only a tiny bit different. I'm Volpe's at the top. I have him at the top. We're marrying. We're starting a life together with those 7 stolen bases and top of the Yankees lineup. I believe Brett Beatty is right there on a singular hangout, and Tovar's got to go. Bogman, you any different?
I mean, you can interchange the first two. I might marry Volpe just because he's already struggled, and instead of getting rid of him, you know, Boone took him to couples therapy and put him in the top of the lineup for whatever reason. So I'd probably marry him. F. Beatty and then kill Tovar, but Tovar has to be the guy that dies. you know, here, because it's just bad. It's just been bad. No stolen bases, which is part of the reason you have him. You want to play in Colorado. His ISO is under 100. It's 0.073 right now. He's got to die. So see ya.
It's so brutal. Yeah. All right, Boggs. Tovar's got to die, clearly.
He's got to be the guy that dies. So
someone put that in the clip. That could be a song. Someone should make that into a song. All right, we got one buy or sell, and then we're going to get some general ones from Mindy. But who's our buy or sell? Bob can put this together, and I like this one because he's been a topic of conversation.
Yeah, Matt Chapman, Mindy. I mean, he's unstoppable right now. Mm-hmm. He's in the 100% of most of StatCast. It's unbelievable the way this guy is hitting right now. He's top in hard hit rate, average exit velocity, ex-WOBA, top 1% of expected batting average, top 6% of max exit velocity, top 1% of slugging percentage, chase rate, mm-hmm. top 10%. Even the sprint speed has been fast for this guy. We know he's a great fielder too. So, and in an awesome lineup. So, I mean, is there anything bad about Matt Chapman now? Or are you saying, look, there's no way he can keep this up. I have to sell him right now because I'm going to get something way better than him back, and I'm going to be better set for the rest of the season. What are you doing with Matt Chapman?
I mean, everybody has a price, right? Like if you're going to offer me Juan Soto for Matt Chapman, I'm going to do that 100 out of times out of 100, right? But like, I don't think in most competitive leagues, anybody's going to offer you anything of fair value for him. I feel like a lot of people are skeptical, and they have a right to be, because you know he's been looking the last couple of years not anything like he was with Oakland. Now 4.15 batting average, 5 home runs, and I feel like the 5 have been over the last like week and a half. He's really just been on a tear. The K rate though is one thing that stuck out to me. He's striking out under 21% of the time. He has basically never had a strikeout rate this low. No, yeah, the major league level has not had a strikeout rate this low, and it has not even been anything close since 2019. So that's a very big tangible change that I do like. You know, he was already somebody that was hitting 30 home runs. He just would have a lot of terrible other numbers going with it. So I do buy it in the sense maybe he's not going to be, you know, the top 10 hitter he's been so far. But I do think he's actually somebody that's turned a corner. And I wish, like, you know, maybe there's an article out there that he has like an extra like shortened leg kick, or that he's doing, I heard like JD Davis was doing like a pelvic thrust or something like that. Like maybe he has something new that he's incorporated in that we just haven't like looked deep enough into. But the strikeout rate being what it is, and the fact that he's hitting the ball as hard as he is, that is something I do like. And if somebody is skeptical about it, I would buy to a price. I do think he's somebody that I am interested in.
You said it really well. Like I actually have him in my trade video on Fantasy Pros. But I do think, and I've talked about this with a lot of guys, there is a level of player that you can't get the return mm-hmm. for what it's worth to what they're providing for you. And Matt Chapman might be in that territory. The only thing is he's done a little extended time, which might move past it. It's also a premium position. But to that effect, also, one of the reasons is he's got like a almost 500 BABIP. Like that's not going mm-hmm. to stay. It's one of the highest in all of baseball. And he hasn't had a batting average over 250 since 2018. And it's been under 235 for 3 straight years. So why did it change this year to an effect that it'll stay? I don't think it will. BABIP will come down, which will inherently bring everything back down. And he'll level out to being a really good third baseman. So if you can get him over value, that's mm-hmm. why I want to sell him. But if someone's trying to get like market price and sell you on who he was in the past, then no, you just keep him and you roll it out. But he will come down.
I got to play a debate for you guys. Juan Soto is, yeah, like you're obviously taking Juan Soto. How about a guy that's struggling that a lot of people didn't have faith in this year? I did, but maybe dumb. But at this point, Mindy, would you rather have Matt Chapman or Adolis Garcia?
What league are we playing in, a roto or points?
Let's just say it's a roto.
No points. Never points.
Yeah, not points with us.
Okay. I would say I probably go Adolis, and it's just because I think the steals still attract me, and Adolis isn't playing.
He only has one. Yeah.
I mean, but that's one of those things I could see him getting in a week, him getting two or three, and it being back to kind of what we expect from him. Matt Chapman is definitely not going to give you very many steals, and he is going to come down a little bit. I'd probably go Adolis, but that's actually a very like close offer to have to consider.
I expect Welsh to take Chapman. So,
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. I don't think at this second you could trade your Chapman for Adolis. That doesn't make sense.
But if now, they're both struggling at the end of the month, or if Chapman's still hot and Adolis is struggling and now we're at the end of April instead of mid-April.
I didn't think he was going to. Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is playing out how I kind of thought, dude. Like, I just didn't think he was going to steal at the same clip. Maybe that'll pick up. He's not striking out as much, which is encouraging. It's just his XBA is like 225 to his 203 batting average. That's not great. He's hitting the ball harder, but he's not getting those results. He just doesn't make great contact. So I think what you could do here is, like, if you could get a bigger, like, you have to have a 2-for-2 and maybe this could work. I think I'm going to take Chapman. Yeah, I think I'm going to take, I'm talking myself in. Adolis obviously ranks so much higher. Premium position with Chapman, how he's hitting. Again, when I point out guys that I would trade, it doesn't mean I hate these players and they'll be garbage. When he regresses, regression doesn't mean
you're
he's
just
going
finding
to be trash.
Value. That's all trades are, is finding value for your team.
Chapman will be good.
In the way it's built. Yeah.
Chapman will be good. Oh, how about this? Would you trade your Chapman to get Manoa? Would you buy on a Manoa?
I don't think I want Manoa.
Right, I'm just checking. Just trying to see. All right, Mindy, let's end this out. Your favorite buy right now, your favorite sell. Someone you're absolutely in. Maybe it's a hot performance that you are buying into, or it's a guy that's performing low that you want to buy into, and then someone you are selling off.
Well, definitely, I think my sell is probably, if I had to say, I think it would be Miles Straw. And I know it's like, depends on obviously if you play with really competitive people, they know Miles Straw is not good. But if you're playing with people that are just looking at numbers, a couple days ago, he was hitting 315. And the fact is he's going to steal some bases, but he's, I think, one for his last 10 over the last 2 days because they had a doubleheader yesterday. And he hits at the bottom of the lineup against right-handed hitting or right-handed pitching. Obviously, he's never going to hit home runs. And he's never had, he had 3 months last year where he hit 180. So I think he's just not a very good hitter. I think people could see, you know, the steals. They could see that he has a good batting average. They could see, you know, that he has, the walks are, you know, okay. But I think right now, if you're playing with somebody and they're looking at those numbers, that you could maybe take advantage of him. And in a few weeks, he could be hitting 220 again and then barely be in the lineup consistently outside of his good defense. So I think he's probably my favorite sell if you're playing with people that might not realize how bad he is. I think, is it too crazy to say Nick Lodolo is my favorite buy? Like,
no, let's hear it. We talked about him earlier. He just got his tits lit. So, you know, why are you buying in?
That's where I'm thinking, in the sense of, like, people saw the beginning of the year, then they see that 8-run start. And they're like, oh, he was bad last year. He's just coming back to what he looked like before. And that was just a fluke what he did his first couple starts. And that's where I would really want to capitalize, because his changes were, like, very tangible and very, like, recognizable. I know, Welsh, you were in on him as much as I was. And it's like, you know, he added the extra 2 inches of horizontal movement to his curveball. It's literally, hitters are swinging when the ball's, like, behind them. It's insane the type of movement he's getting on that pitch. And I saw someone, like, they said they remind him of Randy Johnson, just like the long, lanky lefty. He's legit a breakout. And I'm not letting one start against the Rays, who also just blew up the Reds pitching again today, change that for me. So if anybody is selling Nick Lodolo and thinking that maybe, like, they can, you know, they're like, oh, I'm going to try to get out before it gets worse, like, it's going to get a lot better. And it's going to stay the, you know, 8, 9, 10 strikeouts he's going to get consistently. And, you know, he's in a division with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And the Milwaukee Brewers hitting is very hot and cold. And I think he's somebody that, like, if anybody's panicking, you got to go scoop him up immediately.
I like it. That's good stuff, Mindy. On the Twitters at DMindy02, what do you got going down? Tell us about Triple Play or anything else you got going on.
A 33rd team, I do stuff for them. I might do some draft content. I'm kind of talking with them, figuring them out right now. Fantasy Pros, I will write again someday, just not anytime soon, I guess. And as far as Triple Play, like, that's almost always where most of my content's going to be. We got the weekly baseball podcast that comes out. Me, Marty Tallman, Art, Little Cheesecake, and Doc. You know, we do that. We got the Call Up, which is our prospect pod. I believe the Walsh, you're coming on.
May 3rd or something like that.
Yeah, and it was the next couple
of
weeks.
Yeah. It's like 2 weeks.
We talk prospects there. Always got tons of football and basketball content, even like some movie.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright. Okay, Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Stuff and food stuff. It's always just kind of whatever we're thinking that day, but Triple Play Fantasy, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff.
You always kill it, my friend. Thank you so much for taking the time with us. We had a blast. We literally have spent an hour and a half together because we were talking before, and I think it did exceed our time before. It exceeded the podcast interview, which is great, which is great. Mindy's the best. Follow him on the Twitters. Thank you, brother. We'll talk to you next time.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League. More Spoon. Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. Stay here right now. Leave a message or whatever. Podcast listeners leaving messages stupid.
It's time for the voicemails. Voicemails at inthisleague.com. That's not it. It's at inthisleague@gmail.com. That's the email. I don't know why I always do that.
You send two ats at inthisleague@gmail.com. It's just inthisleague@gmail.com, yes. Guys.
That's the email.
That's what it is. Yeah.
You take your phone or whatever device you record. Maybe you're on your computer. Like, who is it? Our friend that recorded not looking at us, but the webcam was recording the side of their face. However you want to do it, record yourself 60 seconds or less. Send it in. It could be a trade question. It could be a player breakdown. It could be something entertaining, whatever it is. Let's talk with you and let's have some fun. So we have what looks like six voicemails. There are two from Jack Boyce. Because one thing that was not said in this, and the one that has to do with it, Boggs, we did not go clumps. We did not go full clumps on the episode. Yeah. There was a worry that the clumps might happen. We didn't have the guests, but we did have Mindy in here, so the clumps didn't happen. So I think one has to do with that. So here's the deal. We have two Jack Boyce, it looks like, songs. This is great. Should we save them both for the end, or should we start with one? Maybe we should start with one.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, let's start with the very first one. He was actually the second to email this week, and this is fun, and it's called The Clumps. He says, I put my hat backwards and everything for this one. So let's just get right into it. Let's set the palette here. Jack Boyce, the great Jack Boyce on Twitter, @JackBoyce. Jack Boyce parody songs on Instagram, has sent us two. And this is called The Clumps. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy.
Why was the pod not long? Why was the pod not long, huh? Not enough voicemails, didn't do them. Feels like I'm the only one underneath the sun who wants to save him. Welsh can't believe Buzz hopes he was deceived. Questions to unfurl? A not so hidden agenda. Don't put our tender hearts in a blender, or will we surrender to something like the clumps. No voicemails on the pod got me shookie. Said shookie. Feeling like a rookie. Record it with you. No voicemails on the pod got me shookie. Said shookie. Feeling like a rookie, so record it with your phone. 60 seconds or less. Record it with your phone. 60 seconds or less.
Out. How excited are you that it's relevant music?
Unbelievable.
It's your favorite music. One of your favorite bands of all time.
Last CD I bought. Yeah.
Jack was on something on that one. That one is too funny. That's a brand new one. We had Jack rapping on it, and I don't think we've ever had
a I think that was just to prove that you can record it in 60 seconds on your phone and send it in.
You know what the best part about that? When he said record 60 seconds, it was at a minute five.
Okay. But Jack knows that he gets freebies. So
I like Jack was very cognizant too of where he took the instrumental for copyright reasons and stuff. It's like, it should be good. It was quiet enough, Jack. That was really good. I like it. I also feel like that was like Jack's like Jordan playing baseball. Not that he wasn't good in that, like he was just bored. Like he's already dominated basketball, you know, and Jack's already dominated like singing and destroying parody songs. He's like, I'm going to try a completely different genre. That was Jack doing it. That was great. The Clumps. There you go. And now we're probably like going to have to do a Clumps episode.
Like a clump.
I feel
like
bad.
A clump. Hey,
we're gonna have to really probably map out how we do the Clumps episode. We have to have different characters and stuff. We'll have a special analyst that'll come on that we'll do. Yeah, let's do that. Let's have a big special, big clump special. It's coming in the near future. One more coming up from Jack here in just a little bit. All right. Next up, we had Steve S. Steve S. with the Smooth.
Steve S.
What you got, Steve?
Hey guys, wondering your thoughts on Trent Grisham's hot start.
Hold on. He sounds exactly like how a robot tutorial would sound. You know what I'm saying? Like, hi there, welcome in. Like that's Steve's voice is very, very good and very smooth. Sorry, so let's start it over. Sorry, Steve.
Hey guys, wondering your thoughts on Trent Grisham's hot start, barrel rate, average exit velocity, both way, way up from where they typically are for him. A pretty elite territory on both of those. Strikeout rate is kind of what it is with him, but it's not terrible. Walk rate, always solid. I'm wondering do you think he's a viable 12-team outfielder going forward? Has he shown enough in your mind that you would put some fab on him or if he's still around or maybe even target him via trade with the idea of I've got three outfield spots, 12-team leagues. Yeah, he's my third outfielder. What do you think?
Ooh, three out. When you said 12 team, I immediately went to like five outfielder. Three outfielders kind of tough. Like I've always liked Trent Grisham. He's so stupidly inconsistent, but he's pulling the ball this year. 73 percentile hard hit percentage, which is great. Ex-Woba's in the 80 percentile, 93 percentile barreling. And he's got an XBA, which is around 25 points higher than his batting average. So the expectation of not only him hitting harder right now, is that his batting average can be better, which is like more positive regression in one of the best freaking lineups in baseball. My only problem is like Tatis comes back. You're never going to lead off again. That's going to come back in three outfielders.
That's it for him. So yeah, in a three outfielder league, I think he's like an injury replacement or a bench guy. He is definitely not a starter every single day. Not in three outfielders. In five outfielders, I probably would start him. I would say he's at least a borderline starter. You ride him until the hot streak is over. But like, even with this great start, he still is hitting .224. He has no stolen bases. He has 9 runs and 5 RBI with 4 homers. So like, he's doing a lot of this production from the bottom of the lineup too. Yeah, so I'm just, I would say I'm lukewarm on him, which I think is where you probably should be with Trent Grisham because he is so inconsistent. But like Welsh said, going to be hitting eighth instead of first tomorrow when Cheater comes back. So,
Like at the top of the news we should have talked about. Today is actually the day that Tatis is going to be back in the lineup. We didn't even talk about
it. It's called Cheat Day.
My cheat day is going to be on Saturday from my working out right now. By the way,
my cheat day started in 2011. So
here's a fun fact. I'm kind of building a case that I could dig Grisham because like he's hitting better than what's showing up. His barrel percentage is way higher and hard hit percentage is higher. But check this out. Hitting out of the one spot this year, he's hitting .250 with 2 homers. I guess the walk strikeout rate is about the same, but he's got 4 doubles, 5 singles, 2 homers, hitting .250. I guess that's what's important. Hitting .8, He's hitting .174. And he has got two homers, one other extra base hit, four total hits in seven games. .174, just not hitting as well at the seven spot. I think there's upside. He's a five outfielder, 12 team potential, not a three. That's a really great question. That's actually a good thing to talk about because I see some of the upside with Grisham. I just don't know where all he's going to be and where he's going to thrive. So,
Steve, can I ask you to do audiobooks? Can you be an audiobook reader? That'd be great.
He'd be great. So, yeah, you listen to a lot of audiobooks. Yeah, he's got a great voice. He's a great Steve voice. So we should have him do something. Sure. I feel like, you know what? If we had like ITL GPT, if we had some ITL, he would be the great voice for it. We can get
higher. Be much Steve better than us. That's for sure.
100%. All right, let's listen. It's our boy Don, Lieutenant Captain Don. Lieutenant Captain, what is he? Captain, it's Captain Don, isn't it?
LT Don. We always call him Lieutenant Don. He might be a captain now, but we call him Lieutenant Don.
Yeah, I was about to say Lieutenant Don. That's why.
Lieutenant Don ice cream.
Don Bunch in the house. Don, what do you got?
Bogman and the Welsh, Lieutenant Don, kudos on Monday's show. It was incredible. 11 minutes of humor and just nonsense to start the show out. And then a minute on Brett Beatty, followed by another like 7 minutes crapping all over the Oakland A's. I actually had to check my feed and think that it was a secret show. So love it. Keep it up. That is fantastic.
Crap, hold on. No. He put it in here. Don, what are you doing?
Sorry, ringtone. My bad.
You troll. You troll.
Fancy question. Pitchers are getting lit up this season, and it's only April. It's usually when the ball is dead, and it just gets more and more heated as the summer goes on and starts launching out. So would you trade some high-end pitchers for some middle to high-end hitters and just kind of go with middle pitching and see how that works out? So just kind of curious your take on a season-long view. Okay, appreciate it, guys. Later.
If we didn't know Don, you could almost take what he said in the very beginning as very snarky and sarcastic.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you could almost take it like, hey, guys, good job not talking about anything important for 10, 12 minutes or anything like that. But we know Don, and also it was fun talking about. I think there's never too much crapping on the A's that is doable.
I mean, we did it for at least 4 minutes in this episode, too. So,
yeah. Interesting question on the pitching side, because he's implying that you could trade pitching now to get the hitting. But I think there's also something to be said about how inconsistent pitching is right now and how I think there are deals. I mean, dude, the first couple of games, Zach Gallen could have been had because people are losing their effing mind. And, you know, some of this early adjustments to the pitch clock and just a lot of the differences in the game and being able to throw over and strategy, I think it's affecting pitchers. But at the same time, I do go back to think of like what Scherzer said and how pitchers from guys like Alek Manoah with just conditioning to overall pitchers and their ability to avoid injuries in the summer months and innings are picking up, like, might you have more volatility with pitching on the back end? So to all of that to say, I can't say like, oh yeah, I would just trade like high end pitching for middle end pitching. I think it's a case by case basis, but I think as a blanket idea, it might not be bad to go and consider maybe some pitchers that are performing at like really, really high levels. If you can get kind of one for ones, like even Zach Gallen, I'd point this out. I think the Diamondback, what we're doing right now as a Diamondback team fan, obviously Bogman and I are a very integral part of this team. So we can say we,
of course, yes,
you know, we bring the wins in. Like, it's awesome.
If you spend as much money as we do on this team, you get to say we.
It's awesome what they're doing. And I think the outfield and the running, and you got other players. I don't know if you heard about this interview, like Xander Bogaerts was talking about how difficult the Diamondbacks are and all this stuff. But like, I also don't want to be the person that thinks all the Diamondbacks are going to go and win 100 games. Guess what's going to happen? Like, the league is going to kind of catch up. The Dodgers are going to get better. You know, teams are going to adjust, and maybe the Diamondbacks struggle. Maybe right now is a killer time to trade Zach Gallen, where he's not only recouped back to his original value, he might be more valuable because of the crazy pitching. So maybe if you had like some good depth and you hit a couple places earlier, you could trade someone like Gallen, who's playing at an insanely high level right now, and you could get a crazy good pitching or hitting haul back, because pitching might be kind of volatile, though he does pitch in a home park, which is not going to have any summer effects.
Look, I understand what you're saying, and absolutely, especially like the pitchers that are pitching well right now, you could probably get more for them because of the inconsistency of the rest of the pitching staff. But I mean, pitching is still 50% of your roster, right? It's 50% of the category. So I am not going to trade my starters right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Drop an injured pitcher, or you know, the guy at the end of your bench, your backup catcher. Like, you drop someone that isn't Byron Buxton to pick up Austin Hayes. You do need to pick up Hayes now because he's playing so well if he's available on your wire. But dropping a MVP potential player is just eye rolling.
Yeah, exactly. Well, very good question. I definitely should have probably, you can tell I don't re-listen to them because I'm like, hey, everybody, it's Embrace of Chaos, the song by Jack Boys. And he's like, hey, everybody.
Hey,
I
guys.
Put the song. Yeah. But I actually kind of like having the song at the beginning. I think that was a good mood setter there. Jack, thank you, by the way. Jack should get extra applause because he wanted to make sure that the voicemails were locked up and we got plenty of them. So thank you,
everybody.
Jack. Thank you to everybody. Yeah, exactly. We had Brett, we had Don.
And Jack is right. Steven there. 60 seconds on your phone. Record it and send it to inthisleague@gmail.com. Whatever your question, whatever your comment, you know, by the way, tell us your superstitions. We want to hear about all that. If you have little superstitions, send us those and we'll grade them on 1 to 10, how weird they are.
Yeah. You know, what's funny too, is I didn't think I had any, but then I worked my way into like 2 or 3. I worked my way into a couple of those, which I,
you have think. Superstitions only as the thing is happening. You don't set up your superstition.
Good point.
It's only as it's happening. So
that's a very, very good point. So the things to be on the lookout, Madison Bumgarner should be released or sent away to a country that is not here.
We're storming whatever. Chase Field.
Exactly. We're coming. And Brandon Pfaadt should be hopefully coming soon. That's what we're looking out for. Look out for repercussions of Max Scherzer. Have a happy 420. If that's what you do, you can do that as well. You can find us over at inthisleague.com. You can do that. Sign up on the Patreon. Come and join. Hang with us. Get in the GroupMe rooms. Do whatever you want to do. We would love to have you, but you can get access to our stuff as well. You can peruse around it. InThisLeague.com. It'll just take you right over to the Patreon. We also have a merch store, by the way, InThisLeague.fans, where we've got I'm wearing it today, the Prospect One hat. We've got some ITL shirts and hoodies and stuff like that. If you want to check it out and rock some ITL gear, go on ahead. Go on ahead and do it. Lots of other fun stuff be coming up in the next couple weeks. Going to be doing a break event here shortly. So make sure you guys are locked in. And that is all we have. We will be back with you next week. You know where else to find us? On Twitter @IsTheWelsh, @BogmanSports. Y'all have a good one now, you heard?
See ya.